Samuel chapter 17, verse 55. So glad to have my daughter here today. Cherie, thank you. Thank you for that beautiful song. We've had some great fellowship, and I'm so glad you're here. I'm glad all of our guests are here. We appreciate you. Thank you for coming today. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 55. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, "Abner, whose son is this youth?" And Abner said, "As thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell." And the king said, "Inquire whose son the stripling is." And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. I love that phrase. I like that. I'll get to that in a minute. And Saul said to him, "Whose son art thou, thou young man?" And David answered and said, "I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite." I kind of tried to research this title today, and I Googled it, Wikipedia'd it, and everything else I knew to do, because I didn't want to say anything wrong. And I heard people saying this, so if it's got a wrong connotation, please don't apply that to my sermon. But from the best I can tell, my title is, "Who's Your Daddy?"
Right.
Who's your daddy? Amen. That's what the whole thing was about here. That amazes me. Of all the things that Saul could have said about David, the great champion of Israel,
right,
the first thing that came to his mind was, "Who's your daddy? If you're all this, who's your daddy?"
Right, right.
I heard about a guy one time. He saw this. It was the ugliest kid he'd ever seen in his life. I mean, the kid was ugly. Seriously ugly. He had to drink up on a drink of water just to get a drink. He was ugly. And so he said, "Excuse my morbid fascination, but I would love to meet your parents." Just think on it, it'll come to you in a minute. So he saw David's character, and he saw his strength, and he saw his abilities. He was humbled by his faith in God. And the first thing he wanted to know was, "Who's your daddy?" Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. David did have a proud heritage, in part. And the Bible does, it traces his lineage back to, actually to Judah, the great leader of praise, and the blessed son, Jacob. And so he goes back to Phares, and through Hezron, and Ram, and Amminadab, and Nashon, and Salmon, and Boaz, and Obed, to Jesse, and then to David. But the beautiful thing about the lineage of David, as great as all those men were, that there are three that stand out. Of course, Judah stands out because he was the great founder of the tribe of Judah. And then David stands out because God made him the great king of Israel. The greatest of all of Israel's kings was David. And then David's son was even greater than that. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Reminds me of the story of the boys. They were talking, and one of them was just a red-blooded American boy, and he said, "When I grow up," he said, "I'm going to be the president of the United States." Another little boy, he was Catholic, and he said, "I'll go you one better." He said, "When I grow up," he said, "I'm going to be over all the Catholics in the whole world. I'm going to be the Pope." And they turned around to their little friend, and they said to his little Jewish boy, and they said, "I guess when you grow up, you're going to be God." He said, "But one of our little boys was one time." Amen. Praise the Lord. And he's right. He was. Jesus is in the lineage of David. Amen. Everybody said, "It just keeps getting better." Hallelujah. It just keeps getting better. Amen. I think of the life of David. He's one of my very favorite characters in the Bible. And his life at one point was such a simple life. He enjoyed being out in the Bethlehem plains and under the starry skies and grassy fields beside the still waters with his sheep. And he could get out there and he could write songs and he could play his harp and he could practice with his sling. And man, it was a great life for a boy. David was having the time of his life. He was enjoying life. But all the time, God was putting things together in David's life. Young people, listen to me today. God's got a plan for you. Every last one of you, God's got a plan for you. And you hone those skills and talents that God has given you. You do the very best with them that you can. Now, I know it doesn't seem like a big thing to be able to put a rock in a pouch of leather with some straps attached to it and sling it around your head a few times and learn how to let go of that little buddy and knock a block of wood off or hit another rock or something. That may not be a big thing, but it became a big thing. It may not be a big thing to somebody to make up your little songs while you're out in the field somewhere and you say, man, you're just kind of bashful about sharing your song because you think, well, you know, I don't know if it's good enough. Well, let me read you one of them that David wrote. It starts out something like this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Hallelujah. That was one of David's songs that he wrote when he was a shepherd boy. And he learned how to play a harp. I'm sure he plucked a few strings wrong now and then, but he learned some fascinating things. But he just enjoyed life. He gave it everything he had. He was a positive young man. And one day, he was out with his sheep, and his brother came running out of breath, and he said, David, come with me. Somebody's asking for you. And so he takes him back to the house, and when they get there, lo and behold, there's the prophet Samuel. And Samuel comes over to him, and he's got this ram's horn, big old ram's horn. And he brings him over, and he prays over him, and he said, David, God has chosen you, 17 years old. He said, God has chosen you to be the king over Israel. And man, he takes that bottle, make sure it tops on real good, and he pours it on him. And I mean to tell you, friend, oil starts at the top of his head and it runs down over his face and down over his shoulders and down over his body. And that warm oil, I'm telling you, David never forgot what it felt like when the psalmist or the prophet anointed him to be the king. Amen. He always remembered his anointing. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you what, I never have forgotten. I've had the Holy Ghost now for 40 plus years, but I've never forgotten the first day that I got it. I can tell you the time. I can take you to the place. Amen. Amarillo, Texas, June the 19th, 1967. It must have been a little after 10 at night in a youth camp when the Holy Ghost came down and God gloriously baptized me with His Holy Spirit. I have never forgotten to this day that glorious experience. And I try to relive it every chance I get. Hallelujah. And so, it was a simple life. And all of a sudden, it was interrupted. Now, when God calls you to do something, there's a time of preparation before you actually get to do what He told you you're going to do. If God calls you to do something, don't get the big head and think you're special. You are special. But that ought to humble you, not make you proud. If God has given you a unique set of abilities and gifts, that should humble you, not make you proud. You should not use that gift to glorify yourself, but you should use that gift to glorify God. And every chance you get, you glorify God with your gift, but never glorify yourself. And don't look upon those less than yourself that are lesser gifted in a certain area as though they are less than you are. Brother Holly taught us well at Bible school. He said, in some way, every man is my master. In that, I will learn of him. Everybody can do something better than you can. There was a young man that came to Henry Ford one time. Henry Ford had a question. And he asked him the question, and the young man was a little smart aleck, and he said, you don't know the answer to that? And he said, no, sir. That's why I hire fools like you. Put him right back in his place. Amen. And so we have to understand that not everybody knows everything, and not everyone can do everything. But the gift God gives you, be grateful for it, make it the best that you can, but never use it to belittle someone else. David was like, he was a man that understood, a man of wisdom as well as ability. And God began to lift David up. You know, then God did something very interesting. God moved David into Saul's court, of all things, as a harp player. The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon David and it departed from Saul. And Saul was troubled by this evil spirit. And the thing that he noticed that made him calm down was music. And so he called for a harpist, and there was a young man by the name of David that was found in the house of Jesse, and he came and began to play for him. Amen. It's amazing where your gift will take you. Amen. You say, well, I've never been anywhere, never done anything. But the end is not yet. You do not know where God may take you and what room your gift may make. But always glorify God. Never allow your gift to cause you to lose your faith and your place and your anointing with God. So that's exactly, David comes and he's a musician now in the court. In the 16th chapter of 1 Samuel, I want to read a few verses here. Look at verse number 17. And Saul said to his servants, provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me. And one of them answered and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite that is cunning in playing and a valiant man, a mighty valiant man, and a man of war and prudent in matters and a comely person. Look at all these qualifications. First of all, he said, man, he plays a mean harp. Well, that's not what it said, but if it was 2011, that's what it said. He plays a mean harp. And then he said he's a mighty valiant man. He's a bad dude. And then it said, and this is what really I think is so interesting, a man of war. David's never fought a battle. David's never been in the army. And yet, I think it's a spirit of prophecy. That's on the, and he said he's a man of war. David's just a kid. He's still a teenager. And he said he's a man of war. And then he said that he's a good-looking fellow. He's a handsome young man. And all of those, but listen, the thing that he said that arrests me of all, it said, and the Lord is young people, of all the other stuff you got going for you, the best thing you got going is the Lord. Amen. You may be good looking, but hear me, honey, that's going to leave one of these days. That's going to all come crashing down. Gravity and time has a way of telling on you. Amen. That's all going to change. And you can get all the putty you want and fix it up, but it only lasts a certain length of time. Amen. Praise God. And so that's going to happen. That's a fact of life. Amen. But one thing that will never change in all of your life is the Lord is with you. Amen. You're going to lose your strength someday. All of those things are going to go if God tarries. But one thing that will never change, and one thing you need to treasure above all, is the Lord is with you. You know why Saul was comforted with David's playing? Because it was anointed. Or there's music that does not comfort. There's music that will agitate you and get you stirred up. Amen. It's made to do that. There's music that incites people to want to be violent. That's right. And music, it speaks to us. It moves us. So we have to be careful the music that we listen to. And you have to be careful the lyrics that you listen to. Because there's a lot of power in music. The devil knows that as well as God. Now you understand something. God made music. It's not evil. Unless it's used for an evil purpose. But it's like all things that God made good. Satan can pervert it and it can become evil. But God made David a great musician, and he used his music, and it was anointed music, and it brought comfort to the king. But then came the great day in David's life that he's most noted for, perhaps of all things. And that was when he went to see his brothers, and he just went there to take them a little bit of cheese and bread, some grilled cheese sandwiches. I don't know if they were grilled yet, but they had the bread and they had the cheese. So he gets to the battlefield. And he finds his brothers. He's all excited. I would have been excited. Man, he's there, and he thought, man, I'm going to get to see some tough stuff today. I'm going to watch Israel whoop up on Philistines. And he gets there, and all he can see when he gets there is the Philistines standing on the mountain. And here's this great big giant in the middle of the hollering and screaming, the jolly green giant. I don't know if he's green, but he's hollering and screaming at everybody. And he looks over to Israel, and all he can see is his eyes. That's it. They had a suntan from here up. You could tell for a long time. They were hiding, friend. Nobody's sticking their head out. And that's where he arrives at this scene. And he hears this giant out there boasting and carrying on and telling all the bad stuff he was going to do. And David gets all stirred up about that. He said, who is this? Talking to Israel that way. And he says, I'll go. David, settle down, son. You never been. Then he goes, and Saul heard it, and he said, whew, found somebody. Calls him in. Goes in before the king. Now, here's what I find interesting. He's been playing the harp in Saul's house, and Saul loved him and actually chose him for his armor bearer, it says, but he didn't even know who he was. He didn't even know who he was. I mean, he's so unrecognizable in his new role. Let me tell you something about people. And you be careful about this. People will try to lock you into a certain place and never let you out. You know, well, he's good at this. Well, he may be, but he might be good at something else too. Don't lock people into a certain thing and never let them out of that. That's what they were. David's a good musician. I know him as a musician. Yeah, but he's more than that. He's also a man of war. And so he hadn't been tried there yet. But Saul calls him in and gets his pedigree and what's his qualification. David said, I'll tell you what. He said, I was watching my father's sheep. And boy, this day stood out in David. It wouldn't mind too, I'll tell you what. He said, this lion came out. And he grabbed a hold of one of my daddy's lambs. And he said, I went over there and I tore that old buddy limb from limb. And he said, the Lord, everybody say, the Lord. He said, and the Lord delivered the lion into my hand. And he said, and a bear came out. Got a hold of one of my dad's lambs. And he said, you see these right here with my bare hands? Him and I got a hold of that bear and I ripped him apart. Him and he said, and the Lord delivered him into my hand. You see where David's confidence is? He's learned it's not by might nor by power, but by myself, the Lord God of hosts. So he walks, he's not afraid. And so Saul says, all right, bud. He said, that's good. He said, I'm going to tell you what, I am going to let you wear my armor today. I mean, it's got the little king symbol on it right here and everything. Cool stuff. So David goes in. He actually puts on Saul's armor that's made for Big Daddy himself. And he gets Big Daddy's sword, and he's got Big Daddy's shield. He is styling. But he's not comfortable. He said, "What is it, Brother Roach taught us? This is not the way I roll." So he took the hat off. He said, "Sorry, sir, that's not for me. I know this is special. I know that this is really stylish." He said, "But I hadn't tried this out. I'm getting ready to fight about it. I better stick with what I know works. There's a time to experiment, and there's a time not to experiment. There's a time to use what you know." And he said, "This is one of those times." So he goes out and he stops by the river on the way out, and he gets 5 stones. Somebody said those 5 stones were because Goliath had 5 brothers. He's going prepared. Amen. Somebody else said it's J-E-S-U-S. I think that's true. And so he's headed out to the battlefield. Here's old Big Mouth standing out there still screaming and hollering. Amen. And he gets real insulted. I love this story. It's just one of the greatest stories in all the Bible. I love it most because it's true. Now, let's look at what Goliath says here. Amen. Big man that he is. And he's out there and he's screaming and he's hollering and he's carrying on. Amen. And excuse me. And so David comes. This guy, the Bible said that he's 6 cubits in the span. Best I can figure out, that's 9 feet, 9 inches tall. He's wearing this coat of armor. The armor itself weighs 125 pounds. How'd you like to have a suit like that? You would be buff. And then he's got this spear in his hands. And the Bible said the head of that spear, the head of it weighed 45 pounds. I mean, this is one tough guy. And he's standing up there, and I'm sure he looked the part, 9 foot 9 inches tall. Big. And he's standing up there, he's doing all this hollering and screaming and carrying on. And David walks out, and listen to what he said. Verse number 43, "And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? Did you bring a stick out here to whip me with? And thou comest to me with staves." And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Wouldn't it be sad to have a god that's all you can do with is cuss? And that's what he said. He said, "Come on." He said, "I will give thy flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." And then David replies, and he said, "I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee. I'll take thy head from thee. I'll give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field, that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel." And all this assembly, these guys with the strange suntan, he said, "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." And with that, he puts his little stone in the sling. He wraps that buddy up a few RPMs. He lets go of it with all he's got. Splat! Right in the middle of the dude's forehead. He falls down and causes a little minor earthquake. David runs over and drags out his sword and hacks off his head. He meant business. David was stirred up. He was bold in the Holy Ghost. And he didn't leave it laying there. He grabbed him by his shiny locks, lift that old ugly head up, dripping with blood, raise it up to the sky, and I believe he began to shout a victory song. And by that time, all the guys with a strange suntan rose up from their hiding place, grabbed their weapons, and ran to war. And the Philistines took off like a whipped puppy with their tail between their legs, headed for higher ground. Amen. I'm telling you, it changed things. Saul, when the battle finally settles down, everything is getting calm, he calls for David. David comes in, he's still got that old head in his hand. Still carrying him around by his locks. Amen. Been carrying that thing all, I believe, been carrying that thing all day long. Amen. Wouldn't let go of it. Telling you, once you kill something, you don't forget it. You don't forget the battle. You don't forget what it cost you. You don't forget what the Lord did for you. Amen. God helps you to conquer an addiction. You don't ever let that go. You thank God for it every day. God, I thank you that I'm not a slave to sin anymore. Thank you because you took that away. Thank you because you conquered that in my life. Amen. I've got a reminder, I'm not ever going to forget what you have done for me. Amen. Praise God. The Bible says that he took his armor and he put it in his tent. We know that he took the sword and he put it in the temple. Or the tabernacle as it was. And then the Bible said he took that head. He had a plan for that. I love this part of the story. Now David grew up in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is just a few miles from Jerusalem, but it was not called Jerusalem at this time. It was called Jebus. You remember the Jebusites? That's where they lived. And the Jebusites lived up on this hill looking down at David. And he looks up there, and every day when he was outside, he could always see the enemies up there on the hill, sticking out their tongues and calling things out. And you know what David did? He finally grabs the head of Goliath, and he runs up to the gates of Jebus, and he takes that old ugly head, and he slams it down on one of those spikes, and he leaves it there. He said, I'm coming for you next. I'm serving notice today. No wonder Saul said, who's your daddy? If you're the cub, I want to meet the big daddy. Amen. I want to meet somebody that can bring something like this into the world. Amen. Well, it wasn't really Jesse that did all of that. It was somebody bigger than Jesse. Amen. David never did give all the glory to Jesse. He gave the glory to God. He didn't say it was Jesse that did it. He didn't say it was Obed that did it. He didn't say it was Boaz that did it. He didn't say that it was any of my ancestors. He said it's the Lord God of Israel. To be continued, let's stand. Yeah, I'm out of time, but I'm sure not out of sermon. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Let me tell you today, who is your daddy? Amen. Brother Grissom, if you only knew. I really didn't come from a very good background. My dad and I, we don't have much of a relationship. I'm not like David. Let me tell you today, you've got a father that's greater than that. I'm so sorry that there are people, and I know that there are people, that have not had a good relationship with their father in this life. Fathers that sometimes are abusive, mean, and captive to their addictions. Never gave you the time of day. I understand that. I understand that. And I'm very sorry. But I'm here today to recommend somebody, a father, that will be a father to you. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, but I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. He's going to be there. His name is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. That means he's not ever going to leave. There's never going to be a time that he's not there. There will never be a time that he's not there. Psalm 34, David said, my soul will boast in the Lord. He said, I'm going to brag a little bit. But I'm not going to brag about David. I'm not going to brag about Israel. He said, I'm going to brag about the Lord. Amen. Let me just say today that you'll have disappointments in life. People will let you down. But Jesus will never, ever fail. You are His child. He loves you. He wants you to always recognize Him. You'll never be ashamed of Him. He'll never give you cause. He'll always be faithful. And He'll be everything that you need Him to be. Amen. Somebody today, you need to find that kind of a relationship with your Father. Let me invite you to come. Amen. There's an emptiness in your life. There's a void somewhere. There's a place that can't be filled with anything else. I invite you to come. Bring your troubles, your sorrows, your defeats, your discouragement, even your sins. And let's lay them at the feet of this faithful Father. Amen. And I promise you one thing. If you will lay them at His feet and leave them there, He will claim you today as His child, fill you with His Spirit, and He will make your life greater than you ever imagined that it could be. Amen. Praise God. Have you failed? He'll restore you. He'll not shame you. He'll not cast you aside. He'll not ignore you. He'll receive you. Amen. That's the kind of Father that He is. Amen. Praise God. Here's a place today you can come and start a brand new relationship. Amen. Praise God. Lord, I didn't do so good this week. I kind of blew it. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Thank You for loving me and having confidence in me. Giving gifts to me. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I think it'd be good if we'd respond to Him today and just everybody come and spend a few moments in His presence. Lift your hands, lift your voice. If you really love your Father, just come and tell Him that today.